Do you know this one? I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle and here is my... Okay. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle and here is my... I'm a sugar bowl. The preschool kids, they love that one when you do that one. I think, you know, it always makes them, they kind of giggle and smile. I don't think they know what teapots are, but they know that, you know, it's a flub, it's a giggle. But do they kind of understand the point behind the giggle? Are they aware yet of peer pressure? Do they know yet the wonders of social conventions and how the popular culture has plans for who and what we really ought to be? To fit in, to toe the line, to match the stereotype. But that's not who we are, right? Somehow we are instead made. We are made. Over and against all those expectations, there's kind of an article of faith for us, especially for Lutherans. We like to frame it in the language of vocation. We like to say that somehow there is this unique calling, this particular responsibility that is baptismal in its nature. I am the result not of acculturation, but I am the result of divine and deliberate action. Do you see the difference? My existence is not an accident. My life is not part of a random distribution of matter in the universe. No, my body is not the luck of some grand genetic draw. I am. We are made and unique. The psalmist would say marvelously made. Made with purpose, made with value, made in order to have relationship with the Maker. Have you been looking at that image on the screen? Raise your hand if you think you can know what it is. See, some have gotten it. It looks sort of squishy and icky. It's not surgery. It's hands on a pot. Hands on a spinning wheel, forming, shaping that viscous clay into something marvelous. How many of you have ever actually tried to throw a pot? Do you know, have you done that? I mean, I've seen it done. Some, you know, if you've been to Holden Village and you wait through the line, you can actually try that out. I did it once and it started to go like that and there was just no way to fix it and, you know, I gave up. It is this wonderful and artful practice. And it's a very, very old technology, something that surely would have been in use, a kind of a habit, a trade, a craft that would have been alive and real in Jeremiah's time, so many generations even before Jesus. Part art, part utility. The shape of the outcome, the vessel that would have been made would have come out of the user's skill and imagination. But certainly, and most of all, it would have been about the purpose of the vessel at hand. How would it be used? After all, not all vessels are for the same purpose, right? Some are for grain or for liquid. Some might be used to hold oil or water or wine. Some might be for mixing food. Some might be for storing precious objects. Others have other kinds of purposes. In fact, it took me a long time to understand what my grandmother was talking about when she would reference the chamber pot, right? We have a prized vessel in our fellowship. We have a container right here. And we use it with some frequency. We use it with some reverence. Why? Because what happens there matters. Oh, I pour at the beginning of the service to remind us all of our baptism, this realization that babies and uncles and grandmothers have all come close to those waters. Jeremiah's audience would have understood very well the very practical art of pottery. It was not only familiar to them, but I think they would have described it as indispensable. They would have heard this story of Jeremiah's sermon. They would have heard it and understood it as an illustration. It is an illustration of God's claim on our lives, God's claim on the community, God's claim even on the nation, a claim that showed their purpose, a claim that showed their identity and their destiny. Lee loves it when he gets to read, but do you remember what he said? The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Am I? I'm not, after all, a teapot, and neither are you. I'm not what I first thought, and I'm not what everybody else sometimes wants me to be. Yikes, I'm not even what I wanted to be sometimes. I've been reworked, and so have you. Reworked as seemed good to the potter. I think Jesus would have known these words of Jeremiah, not the teapot song. Jesus would have understood well this line, this narrative. Jesus came to understand his own designed purpose. And I wonder if he stopped and at some point said, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mr. Potter, sir, I see what you're up to, and I don't know if I want that. To teach and to heal, to protest, to resist, to suffer and die. Eventually, Jesus would say, take up your cross and follow me. I think Jesus knew Jeremiah's sermon. Jesus lived Jeremiah's sermon. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. God made Jesus a kind of vessel, a bearer or a holder, a container. It was a vessel with purpose and with value, a vessel God would fill with God's own self, right? Jesus carried God's own self to the poor. Jesus carried God's own self to the oppressed and to the isolated. Jesus carried God's own self to the powers. Jesus carries God's own self to you and to me. Do you know that word enthusiasm? Let's say it together. Enthusiasm. What's the first couple letters? N, right? And if you know your Greek and you know how words work, if that's a prefix, what's your guess? What does N mean? In, right? So to have something held and full. N is kind of a Greek way of saying you're full of it. okay, N, and then what's the next part? Enthusiasm. What's the word? God. Theos, to be full of God. To be full of God. Overfilled and brimming and breaching its limits. I suppose we have a kind of calling as Christian community to be a God vessel, to be a pot full of God's care and God's love, to be an enthusiastic pot of God's presence and hope and healing. Enthusiastic, as Northern Europeans can be. Our voice, our possessions, our buildings, our behavior, full of God. The church's intended calling in its mission is to carry and to convey its contents. It's not about us. It's not about us. But to carry and to convey its contents, it's not about our music or our coffee or our buildings or our parking or whatever. It is what is inside. That when you grab that lid and take it off and you look down in and discover again. Frances Havergal was the youngest daughter of an Anglican minister. In the course of her years, she was really quite pious. In fact, she had memorized, get this, she had memorized all of the Psalms, all of the book of Isaiah, and most of the New Testament. I'd get dizzy at the prospect. Yet she was devoted. And there is the story told that on a Friday in 1874, when she was visiting a house in Worcester, 5 years or so before she died of peritonitis, an ugly, painful disease, did she know? Did she know? Here's what she wrote. "Take my life that I may be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love." What? "Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose." Do you remember? "Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be a royal throne." Then she says, "Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever, only, all for Thee." I think that's a couple notches better than "I'm a little teapot." So what are you? What are we? Amen.